It is time for the show. So let's do the show. It's time for it. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it is, what is it? It's Friday, August 16th, 9-11, almost 9-12, 9-11, Friday, August 16th, 2024. Here we are. It is, and I just want to say thank you to my fine listeners who are out there this morning, who, I was just looking at statistics. I about once a week, I'll typically look at statistics in depth. I look at them every day just to see what's, make sure things are copacetic. If I have a day that's where there's zero, then I did something wrong, typically. That has happened before. Something's messed up. Nobody listened to the episode. It's like, there's something wrong. Hasn't happened very often, but it happens once in a while. So I just kind of take a look at that, make sure it's all done right. However, it's interesting when I have a couple of days that are like exactly the same, at least from the one, there's two places I post things. I post the show at two different upload areas. One's Podbean, the other one's called Castos. And Castos has really good analytics. However, not very many people get the podcast from Castos. So it's like a smaller sampling of listeners. But it's what ends up happening is I just take that. It's almost always proportional to what is seen on Podbean. So I just kind of take that and I look at the proportional stuff. I don't know if Podbean. Podbean doesn't have quite the. I can look at geographic statistics, and I probably can find it on Podbean, but I can't. It's always kind of harder to find. It's very clear on Castos, so it's very easy to see. I can break it down to cities like right. Santa Clara, California has had more. That's the highest. The top city. That's the top city of listeners. Santa Clara, California. Colorado, Englewood. Colorado is another one. North Carolina, Arizona, Indiana has some. Southern Indiana actually has a lot. Maine, Ashburn, Virginia, Chicago has quite a few, of course. Heritage Hills, Colorado. Then it goes into some other cities outside the U.S. Let's see, Michigan. There's Michigan, Big Rapids. Now, this may not be actually. What's interesting about this is it's not always your town. Like the Chicago, Illinois thing. Sometimes my IP address shows up as a Chicago IP for some reason. I don't know why. I don't even have a VPN. Dulles, Virginia, which is Washington D.C. area. I would assume that's the FBI listening. You know what's going on there, very Langley. They have Louisville, Kentucky, Henderson, Kentucky, those areas. London, of course. And it goes into Seton de Laval, England. Oslo. There are some other areas in this area. Sofiagrad. I don't know where that is. Even I don't even know where that is. Some places in Europe. There's Sweden, of course, Norway. Bulgaria, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, which is interesting, the UK, of course, France, some other places like that. There's one, what's this, little Costa Rica. There's quite a few down there. Some others around that. Australia has some as well. Gets down into the, of course, the US has the most listens, of course, and there's Great Britain, Mexico. Yeah, some of those other places. So it's just interesting to kind of look at those kinds of numbers. Now, these numbers don't represent necessarily the total numbers because the total numbers coming through Podbean are probably, they're about 10 times greater than what this is, I think. But it's just interesting to see that kind of stuff. That's kind of fun. And I want to, and apparently the listeners are fairly consistent. Because if I was getting random, just people doing a search and looking at something, it would be, the numbers would be much more sporadic, but the numbers are actually fairly fairly normal. I mean, it's consistent from one day to the next. So sometimes there's twice as many people as there are. About once a month, this almost looks like a dump of some kind of data. I don't know if this comes through Apple or comes through some other platform like Spotify or something like that, where they just dump the numbers. Because I'll get this one day where there's just this huge amount of people listening randomly, and I can go into the episodes. Like right now, it looks like the highest number of listens was on "No One Is Above the Law," or is there? I think that was on my June 14th show of this year. Last month, it has the highest number of listeners. Listens or whatever, the Hunter Biden laptop, that was June 7th. So it kind of goes back. It's cumulative. I know people are, you know, if they go back and listen to any other episodes for whatever reason. So right now, January actually has some fairly high ones. Republicans impeaching Mayorkas. So I don't know whether it's the title that brings those in, if it's something just people listen to. It just happens to have more listeners those days. It's interesting. That's the way we say it here in the Midwest. Interesting. It's interesting. It's just very interesting. I have some video or some audio to play this morning. I don't have as much as I wanted to, and I do want to talk about a few things. Got a few things on the thing. One is, of course, what's most interesting is how many of these people on the statistics tune in just to find out what's in my cup. And they obviously, you know, I can see how long they've listened. As soon as I say what's in my cup, then they tune out. They don't listen to anything else I have to say. Because they only want to know, what's Kevin have? What does he have in his cup this morning? I can't go on with my day until I know what he has in his cup. Well, this morning I have, of course, creamy chai with vanilla cream. It's almond joy creamer. Yeah. My backup cup, of course, is homemade sweet tea, which I think I'm gonna have to homemade some more because it's starting to get a little bit funky. I'm getting a little bit of a. It's really getting close. This tea is almost a week old, so I think it's time to make some more. I have a long stretch ahead of me. Sunday, of course, I return back to work. I'm actually going to be staying probably on the boat on Saturday night. And unfortunately, I have a 5-day stretch of time when I have to work. I know everybody says, "Oh, you have to work a whole 5 days. Oh, big deal." I was in Chicago one time, and I was talking to this person at a ticket counter, or I was actually at the gate agent there. And the person asked me, "said, well, how long you been working?" I said, "Well, I've been on the road for 5 days, and so I get 3 days off now." He goes, "Oh, work 5 and get 3 off. I'd love to do that." I was like, you're home every night. You don't understand. When you're gone, I might have been on 4 and then off 3. I think that's what it was. It was off, on 4, off 3. And so I've been gone for 4 days and get 3 days off. Oh, I'd love to work 4 days and get 3 days off. Now, you don't understand. When you're working, you're gone. You can't mow the yard. You can't deal with the trash. You can't take care of everything that's breaking down. All you do is hear about it. And I guarantee you, the moment you leave the house, when you're on your way to work, that's when you get the call. Hey, the basement's flooding. Hey, the car did this. Hey, the whatever. All those things start piling as soon as you leave the house. That's when those things start happening. And they just keep piling up until you get back home. So now you mow the yard, you fix the car, you change the oil, you do all this stuff that you got to do. Fix the brakes. As I've been doing the last couple of weeks, is changing brakes. I ran into a problem with my car. It's needed the brakes changed for like a month now. And I finally got the rear brakes changed. One of the brakes was kind of messed up and had a bad caliper. And I had to take the caliper off. And of course, then I couldn't get the brake bleeder to turn. And I was afraid it was going to twist it off. Because that usually happens with especially cheaper cars. This isn't a cheap car, but it's an old car. It's 12 years old. It's got 306,000 miles on it. I'm sorry. And I just assumed that those calipers had never been changed. And I figured as soon as I start cranking on that thing, it's going to twist it right off. I did everything I could. I put some oil on it, put some, you know, penetrating oil, put some heat to it, just all kinds of things. Knocked it with a hammer a few times, which actually take a little punch and you knock right around it just to kind of knock it loose a little bit. Then you squirt it with some oil again. And it was just, did all this stuff and kind of worked it around. Well, then finally, when I went to take the thing off, I thought, well, you know, I finally got a new caliper. So I had the new caliper there. If that broke, I was ready to put the new caliper on. It didn't break. It opened up, and I was like, well, I can just bleed it now. So then I started taking everything apart. Got the old brake pads out of there. I put new brake pads and new rotors. This is on the back side. The next thing I know, I find out that caliper has a stuck, I don't know what it's called. It's called a metering pan or whatever it's called. I couldn't do anything with it. It was jammed, and it was there. So there was no way I was going to put that back in. I got it to move enough to where I could put the caliper back on, but it wasn't moving. It's supposed to be free so that as it wears, and so this is just going to cause undue wear on this thing. It's going to wear weird. Say that five times fast. So I ended up pulling the thing off and putting the new caliper on there. So I just put the new caliper on to get it over with. So I ended up having to do all that stuff. Now the other side that I initially had the issues with, that's the reason I got the calipers to begin with, I got that one to turn. Got that one to actually bled that one. I was fine. It was the other side that I had the problems with. So I have two new rear brakes. Front brakes are actually in pretty good shape. I thought the front brakes were getting bad, but they're actually in pretty good shape. So it all worked out. I got all that stuff done. Only thing was there was a compression washer that apparently wasn't working quite right. Got that figured out. Anyway, so I had to do all that stuff over the last couple of weeks. In the middle of all that, my wife's car was scheduled to go in to get some work done that I wasn't going to do. I usually do almost all my own work. Her car has a couple hundred thousand miles on it now too. She has a 2015 Volvo XC. I have a 2012 Volvo XC. Hers has a different engine on it. It's got the T6. She has the T5. I have the T6. And I think this car was originally in a wreck, I believe. I believe it was a salvage title at some point, or nearly that. Something was weird about it because this guy apparently put a whole bunch of new parts in it, you know, salvage parts. Everything works, seemed to work fine. The only thing he messed up really was the cooling system. The cooling system has been terrible. He when I brought it back home, it was in the fall. Got it in Texas, and every time it would get down to about 15 degrees, it started overheating, having all kinds of issues. And I was like, "What is going on with this thing?" When I tested the coolant. Coolant was good to about 31 degrees. There was basically water in there. He didn't put any coolant in there at all. Because of that, and that causes corrosion, of course, and lubrication issues. So because of that, I don't know how long he ran it that way. He basically, there's all kinds of other issues now with hoses, and because it got overheated a couple times, and it got some issues with that. That caused some undue stress on some of the hoses and components and clamps and that kind of thing. So now I sent it over to. I think there's one last thing I should say. That needs to be done to it, and that is there's these two hoses that need to be changed, and they're in a place where I'm just not going to do it. It's because it's got an intercooler tuber, cooler. It's got a turbo cooler, some other things. I'm not going to mess with that. So I took it over to the local garage right here in town. He's not really in town; he's just like a mile away from me. But he's a very good mechanic. It's hard to find a good mechanic. This guy's so good. He's so honest. He has pretty much cars stacked up on top of each other at his place. And he's about 2 weeks out to try to get an appointment with for the guy. So I got that going on, and that should be done today, I believe. I took it over there yesterday morning, and should be done today, I believe, according to what they told me yesterday. So most of the time I do my own stuff, and that helps a lot because then I save a lot of money because the car is not cheap to fix, typically with parts. Volvo dealers, I don't take anything to Volvo dealer because I asked them to change my oil one time. I said, what's an oil change cost? $300. Okay. Yeah, that's not going to happen here. Well, we do it right. Yeah, well, okay. Well, I'll do it right too. I'll just do it. You're a ticking time bomb. Ticking time bomb. I've taken three Volvo XCs over 300,000 miles. What kind of ticking time bomb are you talking about? Are you saying I might not make it to half a million miles? Is that what you're saying? Oh, boo-hoo. If I can get a couple hundred thousand miles out of a car, I'd say I've gotten my money's worth out of that car. You know, I don't spend over $10,000 for a car. I just don't do it. If I can take it that far, I've gotten my mile. What is that? Let's just get pull the calculator out here for a second. I don't buy the cars with 0 miles on, of course. And let's say I get 200,000 miles out of a car that I drive it myself. Let's divide that by. My average. I probably pay an average of $9,000. Probably. Let's see what that works out to. That's about $22. 22 miles for $1. I get 22 miles out of every dollar. That's what that amounts to that I pay for that car. 22 miles, a dollar. So that's, let's see, what is it? Let's divide, how do I do that? $1. Divided by 22. What does that work out to? It works out to 4 and a half cents a mile. Is that right? That's not right. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, because that times 22. Yeah, there was it. It's 4 and a half cents a mile. And that's not including fuel and oil and maintenance. So that's, it's probably costing, if you include fuel, it's probably, $10 a mile. But it's, I should do all the math on that sometime. So about 4 and a half cents per mile just on the cost of the car. If I just throw it away when I get done with it. That's, of course, I have a 2007 Volvo XC that is actually going up in value right now. I can't really sell the thing right now because it's on the uptick now. It's actually worth more now than I paid for it. And I'm just going to hold, because it's the old P2 chassis, and apparently those are highly valued. With that particular year, with that particular motor, apparently has some increased value to it. So I'm just going to hold on to that. I have, I need to change the windshield. The windshield got cracked in it. It's still drivable, but it just needs to be done. And of course, that needs a brake job too, but I digress. At this point, it's worth putting money into now because it's actually going up in value. I saw somebody advertising one. Of course, it was low miles. That one has, mine's got more miles on it, but this guy had, he had under 100,000 miles on it. It was selling for $14,000. I couldn't believe it. I paid half that for it. If I could get that much for it, just 7,000, I'd be tickled to death if I could buy a car for $7,000 and put 100,000 miles on it and sell it for $7,000. I'd love that. It's like a free car. But I don't know. I hopefully it'll continue to go up in value, and I use it as a spare right now. And that works fine. I got a few things I need to do with it. My hobbies. I got too many hobbies. A few things going on in the world. A couple of things I want to play for you this morning. Back to the reality of the world we live in. There's a show called it's Sky News Australia. I can't pronounce her name. Rita Panai. Is that how you pronounce her name? I don't know what the background of that name is. I'm not sure what her ethnic background is. very intelligent, very. She was apparently got a good sense of humor. I don't know if she puts all this together for, I don't know how she does it, but she does a very good job with this. Anyway, she has this thing called Lefties Losing It. And she plays a lot of stuff that's just wacky stuff. They're always talking about America, of course, because they don't have much going on there. So they have a lot of, it's Australia. You know, they got a tenth of our population, less than a tenth. We have over 300,000 people. 300,000. We have over 300 million people here. I don't know if you heard that back in the day, back when, the speech that Joe Biden made back when COVID was rampant. By the way, more people died under Biden's administration from COVID than under Trump's administration. I don't know if you've been heard that, but and apparently Joe Biden actually came out and admitted it, that 280 million people died from COVID, and. I don't know if you realize that's, maybe it was a job. Was it unemployment? 280 million people lost their jobs. What was that? You know, there's actually only about 100 million jobs, full-time jobs in this country. Most people don't realize that. There's 100 million in the workforce. Around there, I think, somewhere. I actually think there's less than that now. It's right around there somewhere. Because there's, you know, for every person that's got a full-time job, there's somebody probably going to school and somebody that's retired. So it's just, you got all those people out there that are, there's only 350 million people. Well, there's only like 290 million, or no, I'm sorry, 29 million in Australia. And they all live on the coast because everything else is desert. So it's a country that's almost the same size as the United States, the continental United States, the contiguous. So... think about that. How much more is going on here than there? You got 10 times the number of people, more than 10 times. So it's basically 11 times. So we have a few things happening here. We get this little clip I want to play for you. It is, where is it at? It's got to be here somewhere. I'll find it. It's right around the 3-minute mark. See if I can find here without playing too much other stuff. Here we go. This is CNN. I'll set this up for you. CNN is talking about the Ilan and Ilan and Trump their little thingy, the little discussion that they had, and they're playing this. What's funny is that they're playing this based on what Trump said, and yet she kind of realizes that the clip, kind of midstream here, she realizes that the clip doesn't really say what she says it says, but they're setting it up for you. They're playing this and they're telling you what it said.
I want to play one exchange that was kind of classic. Well, there were a lot of exchanges that were classic Donald Trump.
This is classic Donald Trump.
And Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So it's not as scary as people think, basically.
So that was more Elon Musk than Donald Trump talking about, sort of suggesting that what happened almost 80 years ago, I think 80 years ago next year, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, now it's okay, kind of trying to blow off the impact of that.
So, no, that's not what they were doing. That's not the conversation that was going on. They were talking about nuclear energy and why people are afraid of it and the whole thing. And even, well, and now the hydrogen bomb, by the way, the newer bombs, the newer nuclear bombs do not have near the nuclear radiation that the older bombs did. People don't realize that. That's the newer, if you're using newer, the modern nuclear warheads, they're much more powerful. However, they do not have the radiation that is associated with nuclear warheads of old. Now, a dirty bomb, of course, that's the whole purpose of it. There's so much more about the whole nuclear thing. So it's very deceptive. But what they were talking about was the fear of nuclear energy, the fear of meltdowns. And he was talking about Fukushima. which has recovered much quicker than they expected. They were expecting it to be bad for so long. And Chernobyl actually is a mess. There's just some weird things that have happened there. And it's still a mess. Nobody's talking about this, but the meltdown, they call it the elephant's foot in the chamber, is still a problem there. It is. Let's just say that it's still on fire. The thing is still radioactive. Still, it, you'll see some pictures or videos of it. Whatever, you know, they'll take a drone in there to try to, you know, like a little track drone, like a ground based drone, and they'll try to drive it in there. And of course, the pictures are always fuzzy and all messed up because there's so much radiation coming off the thing. And typically, it just destroys the robot trying to get in there. So it's a kind of a still a mess, so to speak, in so many ways. Now this is there's another clip here. This is the kind of thing that they were doing all over. They were just taking. This is what happened. Don't listen to the actual conversation. We're going to tell you what they talked about, and we're going to give you our spin and our interpretation of it. Now, keep in mind, I think close to a trillion. Is it not a trillion? A billion. Close to a billion hits, impressions. Which they believe now that at least there's been at least a billion people have listened to this thing. And they can't stand this because it's turning. They can't stand the idea that Donald Trump is a normal human being. They also, I was listening to another clip this morning that where this was about a month ago when Donald Trump sat in with a bunch of billionaires, high tech billionaires out west. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there's a lot of high tech billionaires now that are actually switching over to the Trump side, but mostly because of this meeting. Word's getting around. Now there's plenty of them that are still they're still leftists, giving huge amounts of money to the campaign because they just have a social agenda. But there's a bunch of them that have because the media came out right afterwards and said, "Oh, he was in there. He was a babbling idiot and didn't know what he was saying, and they were all confused." And this one guy came out and said, "That's not at all what happened." This guy was not a Trump fan, by the way. He said, going into that meeting, he said he really was kind of scared of the guy. He didn't know what to think. He thought he was going to be mean. He said he was a kind individual. He was very hospitable. He's funny. He said very, very disarming, very kind. Treated them with so much respect. And he said it was just a very different experience than what he expected. And he said the media is completely maligning and misleading as to what they're saying about what happened there. He said, I don't know what kind of inside information they have, but this was not at all what happened. So it is, it's just the way they like to, they don't want you, this is why they, whenever he does a speech, and here's some interesting information too. I'm just going to slide into this whole thing. Every time he does a speech, they always, well, we're not going to let you hear the speech because it's just the same old propaganda. It's all lies. So we don't allow that kind of thing on our platform. So we're not going to let you hear it because we have too much integrity, you know, to let you hear this kind of ranting and raving and all these lies, because everything that comes out of his mouth is just a lie. Well, that's a lie right there. But they don't want you. We're just going to tell you what he says. You don't have to listen to what he says. We're just going to tell you what he says. You know, just believe us, because we don't want you to actually experience anything about this guy. This is the kind of monster they create, and they wonder why somebody wants to kill the guy, and why there's people out there that say, "I wish the shooter wouldn't have missed." Do you kind of realize at that point when you make that kind of a statement? And of course, behind the scenes, there are even people that are coming out and say, "Oh, this is terrible. Oh, we're really concerned." You know that behind the scenes, there are plenty of leftists out there who won't say it in public, but you know they're saying it to each other. They're saying, "Oh man, dang it, we almost had him over with. Almost had it done with. Almost had this guy gotten rid of." Sorry, my dog is in the back trying to dig a hole to to lay in, and it's, you know, it's carpet on cement. I don't think it's going to happen. Unless he's got sharper claws than I realize. He's got carbide claws. We have, so this is the kind of thing that, they do. I don't know how much more you're going to scratch there. We have, they do this kind of stuff all the time. And just it's gaslighting at on steroids. That's what this amounts to. And they just keep doing it. And I don't get it. I don't understand how they think that they can. Well, they get away with it because there's such a dumbed down part of our society that apparently this works on them, I guess. And it's dumbfounding in the midst of all this stuff. Now, this is brought to you by Lisa Haven. Or something Republic. She has a show. She's only got about 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. I'm surprised she's been able to have a channel on YouTube. Justice Knight is the other guy that's on her channel quite a bit talking. But this stuff tends to be a little bit sensationalized, and there's some other things usually there's some pretty good information. It's a lot of what's kind of behind the scenes, a little bit tinging on the conspiratorial side of things, which isn't always bad necessarily, but it's because so many of the conspiracy theories we've been hearing about in the past 10 years have been conspiracy facts. And we're always told, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. Well, it comes to find out it's true. So there's a lot of the things that are going on here typically are that way. So we're going to play this. I can't remember what this is actually about. I think this has something to do with, I can't remember. We're just going to play it. I don't remember what it is. I'll comment on it after we play it.
Listen.
Here.
Would it kill you guys to have a press conference?
This is Jim Acosta of all people. I remember what this is. Jim Acosta is going after I believe he's one of the heads of the Kamala campaign, and he's talking about he's somehow involved with the campaign. I don't know if he's the head of it or he's part of the press corps. And Jim Acosta is actually going after him for not having a press conference. So this is the Dems are even having this issue, which I think is astounding to me, especially Jim Acosta of all people. All right, this is enough of this. Enough of this scratching on the floor. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish. We have he's actually going after. And of course, this has happened now a couple times. He's not the only one. There's been a couple of others who said, well, you know, she's been on the campaign trail for I think it was 19 days at that time. What he was saying, still no interview. She could have a sit down with. She's out crisscrossing the country, telling the country all about it. Listen to what he has to say here.
Why hasn't she had a press conference? Listen, the Vice President and Governor Walz have been busy crisscrossing this country since the launch of this campaign and adding Governor Walz to the ticket. You saw the ways in
which... Acosta's sitting here with this little grin on his face and kind of chuckling. He knows that this isn't an answer. He's smiling, going... yeah, okay, that's not the same.
Which they went to across the battleground states last week, generating rallies of thousands, 10,000 here, 15,000 there. But
Michael, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference.
Acosta just said. A campaign rally is not a press conference. It's not. And answering two questions as you're on your way to the airplane or whatever you're doing is also not a press conference. And this answer that we always get from her is, well, I think we should have a conversation about that. Well, that's what we're trying to have here. That's the whole point of me asking you a question as part of the conversation. That's how the conversation isn't just one person talking. It's just I ask you a question, then you answer, and then we have then you ask a question, and we go back and forth with questions, maybe, or just discuss the answers and the possibilities. That's what a conversation is. Like right now, I'm not having a conversation with my listeners. I'm just talking at them. That's not a conversation. I'm not having a conversation with you. I'm conversing. I'm having a conversation with myself and the, you know, all the other people living inside my head. We're not conversing. This is not a conversation. If I give a stump speech in 50 states, or all the swing states, let's say I give a stump speech in 7 states and it's exactly the same speech other than I change the name of the town I'm in, that's not a conversation. You're not listening to anybody. You're not listening to any issues that people have. You're just out there talking at them, not talking to them. I'm amazed that Acosta even gives this any time of day. But here's what I'm going to get into. Let's listen to the rest of this, and then we'll get into this whole thing of what my theories are.
You mind if I cut in? I mean, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference. Why hasn't she had a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
Oh, we absolutely are going to do it. You hear her take questions as she's out on the stump, and she said last week, we're going to be having a sit-down interview here before the end of the month.
So there you are. At the end of the month, they're going to have one. Well, this is after the debate. And she's only agreed to one debate. Of course, now she's been questioned about this as well, because Donald Trump has agreed to 3 debates. She's only agreed to one. Well, this is the debate that before, you know, he doesn't want to do that debate, and it was the one that was set up with Biden. Yeah, well, the rules have changed. You agree on certain rules because of a certain candidate. Now you have a different candidate. Well, that's like saying, okay, we're going to play this Olympic sport, but now we're going to change the other team is going to be different. It's going to be a different team now. You're going to play. You're going to compete against a different person now. The rules have changed. So it's just a weird way of doing this stuff. And it's got to be frustrating for the Trump camp. But it just shows the confusion and the lack of just the whole lack of it. But my opinion is they're going to see how she does at that debate. Of course, this is going to be that debate may not even happen if the convention doesn't go her way. I can't remember if the debate is before the convention. It seems like the debate is before the convention. I think it's on it's the 10th of, no, September 10th. It is after the convention. It's in September. So we'll see how all this goes. She may not even be at that debate. This may be a different candidate altogether. I think there's about a 40% chance here, maybe more, that Kamala may not be at the end of the convention. She may not be the nominee. This may all be smoke and mirrors. And if they play this, I think that the part of the strategy here, there's a couple different strategies. Let's run through a few different things. One is I think we have a general, what's the word? Oh, there was some other stuff on this other one I wanted to play, I guess. But there's some general issues, I think, that some of the leftist media are having right now. They're having a little bit of a panic because they realize there wasn't this overwhelming flood of support. They didn't switch the independents as much as they thought they should. Now, there was this weird poll where Kamala had 44% and Trump had 42%, Stephen Colbert went nuts on his show and thought, it's over, we've won, yay, 44-42%, well, still within the margin of error, and it was right after the bump of the whole thing, and it was this whole weird poll where they had a little over 1,000 people, like 1,100 people, heavily weighted towards Democrats. Over 50% of the people were Democrats. That's not normal, because that's not even reflective of the population. Population isn't even 50% Democrat. So I think only about 30% of the population actually considers themselves Democrats. It's like 30, and you know, there's like most people you ask now are independent or something else. It's less than 40% of both parties. And you got like 20% out there or so that are 20-30% that are considered independent, then you got other, you know, libertarians and everything else. So it's just this weird mix of people out there. And of course they had this heavily weighted number of people who were Democrat in this poll. And of course they only got 44%, 2% higher than Trump. They are every day losing the minority vote. And this is a problem for them. Because they're not making gains anywhere else. Even with Kamala coming on, they are not making gains. There are people who, it is over and over, there are people going out in the streets, just going out randomly asking people who they're voting for in more urban communities. And it is astounding to me how many will stop and just say Trump. And it's they're just sick of this thing. And she's trying to disassociate herself from the Bidenomics thing. And of course, Ducey tried to ask Kamala or Jean-Claude Pierre, current Jean Creer, or whatever her name is, press secretary, about this recently. And she sloughed it off. Oh, well, this is the Biden-Harris administration. She's been involved in all this. Of course she's a part of Bidenomics. You guys call it Bidenomics. It's not Bidenomics. Okay, so she is to blame for everything that's going on. And of course, we still haven't got any answers on why Joe Biden stepped down. Why did he step down? What was his reason? Don't just tell me it's time to pass the torch. Because that wasn't what you were saying 24 hours earlier. What changed your mind? All of a sudden, you decide it's time to pass the torch. Why? Tell us why it's time to pass the torch. 24 hours ago was not the time, but now is the time. After you've been taken, flown across the country, taken to a room, a bright light shining in your face with a rubber hose hitting you in the back of the head. Is that what it was? That's what changed your mind? So I think there was a combination of things there. I think there was also the issue of, they have a lot of things to threaten him with. One is the 25th Amendment. The other thing is, we're going to go after your son. We're going to let all this information come out about your son and you and your interaction. We're not going to protect you anymore. We're not going to hide this stuff from the public anymore. We're going to let the scandal go wild if you don't step down. That's the way this stuff works. So now you have this, I think about half of the media right now, the establishment media that's in the tank for Joe, and then takes it for the Democrats, the DNC, MSDNC, and C and DC and DC. I think that they are real. They're getting uneasy. They're not the insiders. They don't get all the inside information all the time. So they're looking at this, going, "Hey, this, we don't like the looks of this. They may lose here, and we better figure out why isn't she doing any press conferences? Because she's this wonderful gal who's out there with all this energy, and we're trying to get an interview with her, and she's not allowing it. And I think this is going to hurt her. Because what's she afraid of? We've got to get, we got to get her out there in front. They don't realize that this lady is an empty suit. I mean, you talk about, okay, here's what I hear when I hear her talk. I hear a person who is incredibly insecure. The level of insecurity in Kamala Harris is off the charts. This is part of the reason for all the weird laughter at weird times. When she's trying to get people on board with what she's saying, she just kind of, that's why we do it this way, isn't it? Come laugh with me. Oh, yeah, let's just laugh together. And nobody's laughing, and it's just getting weird. It's inappropriate laughter, and this is usually done in anxious moments. It's an anxious laugh. And it's her way of coping with the anxiety that she has because she is incredibly insecure. Even when she speaks, that's when I hear it the most. This comes back to this whole vocal thing. I hear this. Now, and speaking of Trump, he is having an issue. I don't know if it's dental work. I don't know what's going on with him. But he definitely has had some issues. He's not pronouncing his words the same. He holds his mouth a little bit differently now. So there's something else going on. It's not a cognitive issue. It's not that at all. But there is something to do with his. And as you get older, you develop. It may have been some dental work he's had or something like that. Something has happened. I don't know what it is, but he's just pronouncing some of his words a little differently than he used to. I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about. I'm just saying it is there. So, and I think that's the media. Of course, the audio, the way they compress the audio and do all kinds of things. It's the microphone you use, and when you're on your phone, it picks things up differently. Everybody was talking about how he was slurring his speech during the Elon interview. I don't think that was an issue at all. I think when he's got a good microphone, everything sounds normal, except for the things that I notice, which are, of course, weird. I notice weird things. I'm just going to say. So we continue on with this stuff. We have that's one thing. Is the news media, or half of them, are getting nervous about this whole thing. The other side of this thing is the way the DNC might be thinking about playing this. Now, think about how there was all this enthusiasm for Kamala when she first came on board. If they can hit that wave right before November, right before the election, let's say they transfer out Kamala around the end of September, beginning of October, and voting, of course, starts about the middle of October. They get somebody in there that's, oh, look, we got this. All of a sudden, the honeymoon phase hits with this new candidate. And they don't have time. America doesn't have time to vet them. All we know is, oh, this is a wonderful person. Oh, look at all the popularity. Oh, look at the fanfare. Look at everything that's going on. However, I think at that point, maybe I'm wrong about this. And there's always going to be a segment of the Democrat Party. If they change out the candidate again, if they go from Kamala to someone else, I don't think the independents are going to go. Even, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the most wonderful person on the planet. I don't think that they're going to go with this. They're going to look at the Democrat Party and say, you know what? You guys are in complete chaos and disarray. You do not have your act together. You're all messed up. It is time for us to just forget about voting for any of you guys. If they don't want to vote for Trump, that's one thing. But getting them to show up to vote for their candidate, I think, is a whole different story. Voter motivation, I think, is going to be a big issue in this election. And I think people are plenty well motivated. I think people who can't wait to vote for Trump right now. They're just like, oh, I can't get someone to get out there and vote. I'd vote 10 times for the guy. I think that's where we're at. I could be very wrong because I might be living in a bubble, but I just, that's what I see in the world I spend my time in. It is much more likely now for you to talk about, just to bring up political stuff on the down low and not even mention anybody's political name, but just talk about political stuff. And you'll see people weighing in on, they recognize that this administration is off the chart, off the rails, and it's time for a change. And the way they're changing it is not going to work. So I think we have that going on. That's my opinion. I could be completely wrong about that. I don't know. There is a couple of things I want to play on here real quickly before we go. And it's one of them is, I can find it here. It is... is this it right here? It's like five. Yeah, it's five. Sure, right there. I think it's about right here. This is a guy. This is a guy who posted some things. Now, they claim it was threatening. It depends on how a threat can be a very subjective thing. I mean, you can read a transcript of something. What is actually said and what is actually meant, and how that goes, it comes across. There are people who will say, well, that's threatening. There are people who say that if you're silent, you're threatening them. There are people who say, if you say something, you're threatening them. Some people who will say silence is violence. We have that out there now. So is that threatening? If I'm quiet, if I don't say anything, that I'm threatening you? If I don't act, if I don't say something, that I'm being violent because inaction is action? So now you're going to persecute me for that? You're going to prosecute me for that? You're going to put me in jail for 22 months? This is what happens. Let's play this clip because this is over in England. This guy's wearing a wig. And he's playing this clip and he sentences this guy, I think, to 22 months for this, for posting something online. There's a guy who attacked some kids with a machete and got 6 months. So let's see what this has to say here. This is
being committed for sentence, having pleaded guilty to an offence of publishing written material, which is threatening, abusive, or insulting, intending thereby to stir up racial hatred. This offence is so serious that an immediate custodial sentence is unavoidable.
So there you go. It's unavoidable. Now, if he's actually threatening somebody, that's one thing. But just being offensive. Hello? What? Of course, now, again, this is not the U.S. This is U.K. But they still have something called the Magna Carta there, which is common law. We have common law in this country as well. Everything's based on common law. And they're not following that at all. Not at all. Just very bizarre stuff. There's one other clip I want to play real quick. This is an interview that they were having with Ami Horowitz, I believe it was. And they're talking about what happened between Iran and China. Now, this is a deal that I think, we'll clip in on here with what they have to say. And this is what happened.
Broke. Because I told China, if you buy from Iran oil, it's all about the oil. That's where the money is. But if you buy oil from Iran, you're not going to do any business with the United States. And I meant it. And they said, we'll pass.
Yeah.
They didn't buy oil. Other countries, likewise. Sure. You want to buy, you're not doing business with the United States.
So we had the situation was this. I wish this clip would have played a little bit more of it because he actually spelled it out better on the interview. What was going on here was China was going to buy oil from Iran. There was a sanction against Iran right at the time. And if China was going to buy oil from Iran, it's just we're at the tune of, we're talking about like $1 billion. Maybe it's more than that. I think it's been $1 billion. And no, it was half a trillion. It was because it was $500 billion in oil. This deal that they were going to do with them. And so it was a huge amount of money. And basically, during the Trump administration, he said, if you guys don't stay with the sanctions on Iran, we're not going to do business with you, period. He was going to shut down all business with China. China backed away. They said, okay, we won't buy the oil from there. Within a week, we're talking by the end of January, of course, what happens in January, was January 20th was when Biden was signed in. Within a week after he was inaugurated, China made the deal with Iran, bought the oil. This is a big deal. And the U.S. did nothing. Now keep in mind, China Joe was on the in, on the take with Hunter. In China, there are several other politicians, including Mitch McConnell and some others, who also have deals going on in China. Keep that in mind. So there's a lot of things happening there behind the scenes, and all of a sudden China gets away with it. So who do you think they want to have in office? Who do you think Iran wants to have in office? It's the kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. This is where negotiations make a big difference, make a big deal. It's a big deal with this kind of stuff. So that's really the other thing that's happening here is the whole thing. I think that there's two different avenues here that could potentially be happening. One is they've put Kamala in there as a placeholder. Let's see how she does. word has it that if she doesn't perform, if she doesn't, you know, step up to the plate and do the thing, now, all she is doing is she is going around the country with doing the stump speech. And there's a few taglines in there that are getting some traction, but now they're getting old. The next thing that they're thinking about, why would they be thinking about this? If they thought Kamala was going to win, they wouldn't be doing this. But I guarantee you, they're going to try to put Trump in jail in September. He's supposed to go to a sentencing. Of course, now the Trump lawyers are trying to get this thing postponed. They're trying to get him, he's supposed to come back for sentencing in September. I think it's September 10th, I believe. And, or maybe it's, no, it's no, that's something else. Sometime in September. Now, the Supreme Court ruled on presidential immunity, which has really screwed everything up because they have a bunch of stuff in the trial that was they shouldn't have used in terms of evidence because of his immunity. So now the whole thing is all muddled up and messed up, and they really should have – it should be a mistrial. That's what it should be. I'm not a lawyer, not a doctor, not a financial counselor. I'm just telling you what other lawyers have said. So – We're stuck in this situation now where they're trying to figure this all this stuff out and trying to navigate all this stuff. But they really want to try to get him incarcerated in September. They think this is going to help their case by putting him in jail, perp walking him and putting him in jail, putting him in an orange outfit, taking him to prison. Now, here's the problem I have with him going to prison. He will win the election. If they put him in prison, it's obvious what's going on here. This is ridiculous. And the people who aren't wacky Trump derangement syndrome individuals, they're gonna be throwing parties all night long because Trump's in jail. And then he's going to win the election. What's going to happen to their head? Their heads are going to pop off. People are so insanely just off their rocker nuts with hatred. It is unbelievable, but it's happening. Now, the problem I have with him going to jail is Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know who's watching over him. I don't know what will happen there. Of course, everybody's going to think, well, because, you know, everybody who goes to jail gets stabbed. That's the impression that's where their mind is going to go. Well, he's going to go to jail. They're going to kill him there in jail. The prisoner is going to kill him because they hate him so much. If you think he's going to be allowed to be in the general population, that's just nuts. That's insane. They want this guy dead. Bill Barr. After Jeffrey Epstein was killed, go back and listen to the statements that Bill Barr made after that. He knew dang well that whole situation smelled like a sewer, and he did nothing.
I've looked into it, and it seems to be okay.
Just like you had an investigation in that, just like you had an investigation into the election in 2020. Same kind of thing. Too many questions, folks. Way too many questions to the point where there's no more questions. It's obvious. Cameras turned off. Guards sleeping. People in the cell area that weren't there the night before. He hangs himself on a bedpost that's 3 feet off the ground. Just all of this stuff makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. The autopsy bones were broken that shouldn't be broken. And this bothers me that he's going to a place like that where they can control the media, the environment, people around him. It bothers me. Now, Is it? Am I going to lose faith in God because this? Even if they do something to the guy, they're able to actually kill him. No, but I am going to lose faith in our country. And I think at that point, you will. I hate to say it. I'm not condoning it. I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying I think there's going to be an uprising if something like that happens. If they send him to jail and that's all that happens, and if he's sitting in jail on election day, you're going to see more people show up to vote than the polls are going to be backed up for hours in every state in the country because they're going to be voting for this guy no matter what. Just for no other reason than this, that's the way this country is. That will motivate everybody. So I don't know. It's just I think we're in a really weird situation here, and I realize the time my time is up. I need to get this posted. However, so I just want to be very clear here that as we push into the weekend, we are in a ideological war. I mean, it is all out with some very mean, disturbed people. So what do we do? And I think that the only weapon we really have to combat this is to pray for them. Because they really do need their eyes opened up to the truth. That's just, there's no other way to fight this. So, folks, Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. Take care. God bless. Take a deep breath and just relax for the weekend. And we'll get through this together. God bless. Still scratching.